るぞ。目を覚ませ抜刀斎。
伝説の人斬り日村抜刀斎さんよ。
分かったでござろう。拙者が人斬りだった。
そんなの知らないわ。私が出会ったのは剣心っていう流浪によ。剣は人を殺すための道具にあらず。
人を生かす。
人斬りが蹴らずしてどうやって人を守る。
この目に留まる人々くらいなら何とか守れ。
日村抜刀斎
捨てた身、もう人は知らぬ。
殺さずの誓い、酒場どうだ。
剣心、
ゴールだ。
勝負だ、日村抜刀斎。
愛する者のためにもう誰も切らない、切らせない。
剣心、やめ
て。流浪に剣心、必ず帰る。
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? Nez back. ESP Rewind. We're coming at you with a 2012 film. Ooh. I'm not here alone. Taylor's with me, so this was his pick, so you're going to have to pronounce this title. I'm not even going to try.
It is called Rurouni Kenshin.
Okay. Part one, Origins. I don't know. That's what they said they called it in America. I don't know what it was called in Japan, but
it was just called Rurouni Kenshin in Japan.
Okay. I take it this came out over there before it got here, right?
Yep.
All right. This is directed by Kenichi Otomo. And this is action adventure drama. I can agree with that. A former assassin who was resolved to never kill again has his vow solely tested. I am not going to try to pronounce anyone's name because I will just butcher all of them. They got the little things over letters, so I wouldn't even try to. I don't want to disrespect them. But before we dive into this whole thing, like I said, it was, from what I understand, it was manga first, then the anime, and then however many years later the films came out. Because I believe it started, the manga started in 96, I think. For those of you that don't know, I don't even, what is manga? I just thought it was anime. I don't know what that is.
All right, so manga is like the Japanese version of a comic book.
Oh, okay.
Those
are the ones you read backwards, right?
Yeah, so instead of like how a normal book would be read from left to right, the Japanese read their manga from right to left.
So it's like starting from the end and then
reverse. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So like it's pretty much just a term that's used for both like comics and cartoons.
Okay.
Like not like actual cartoons you watch, but like cartoons, like comic cartoons.
All right. I didn't look at any of the anime clips. From what I understand, I think there's like I was watching this video and this guy showed his collection of the series. It looked like 10, 12 books. So I wasn't really sure. I didn't count them all, but he had like a bunch of them. And then the anime came out. I didn't even get to watch any of the clips I saw that were on YouTube. I just looked up this movie and didn't realize it was part of, what is there, five films?
So, yes, as of, I believe, just this past year, in 2021, it became five films.
Okay. Because the review I was reading, that guy said trilogy, and then he was saying that there was going to be more to come, so.
Yeah.
But anime, did you watch that?
So, yes, I did. a long time ago when it, like, I'm gonna date myself here. This came out, the anime came out in 96, and it ran all the way to about like 98. So I was like still in elementary school.
I was an old man and in my 20s. I just got to Reno, Nevada to work at the airport. End of 96. Which were you introduced to first, the manga or the anime?
The anime. The anime was on the old cartoon block on Cartoon Network called Toonami. And Toonami is known for, like, pretty much all the anime that kids grew up watching, like Dragon Ball Z and all that.
I didn't get into any of that. My son would probably know what this is. He was into Dragon Ball and all that stuff at that time. For me, not even knowing who this character was and didn't even know that there was manga or it was an anime thing, I was like, all right, whatever. I mean, I never heard of this. Once I started watching, I was seeing characters and I'm like, ah, okay, those who those people are. Me going to conventions and seeing the cosplayers, especially the guy with the big giant sword.
Sonosuke? Yeah.
I don't remember his name. I remember seeing him and I just thought it was cool with that big giant sword. I was like, okay, I didn't know who the characters were. Not too many people cosplay of the anime that I've watched when I was in my younger years. But I was like, okay, I've seen that character before, and as well as the main character, the Wanderer, the Kenshi. Was that the name? Kenshin.
Yep.
Himura. I think that's how his name.
Yeah, Himura Kenshin.
Himura. Okay, yeah, him. I've seen people dressed up as him because then I'd noticed the scar or the X's on people's cheeks, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So now I know who those characters are, and I know where they came from. But from what I understand, they said this film, like any other film adapted from either a comic book or a book, they can only jam in so much because, like I yep. said earlier, that series, the manga series, is 10 to 12 books strong. So, and is it still going?
No. And not to be that guy to correct you, but there's actually 28 books.
Oh, 28. Well, I was just looking at what that guy showed in the video I watched.
Yeah.
So all right. So
there's 28.
Well, shit, over double. But even still, I mean that's a lot. Not really sure. If these five movies are stretched out in those whole 28 books, who knows? Maybe there'll be more movies. But as not for me, not knowing who this character was or what this story was about, I'll give you my quick little review right now. I thought this movie was awesome. I loved it. I had to read it. From Taylor was telling me that there is dub versions. I don't mind listening to dub, but to me, if you guys are familiar with what I always say about movies that we got to read, I'd rather read it than have listened to a dub version. Example, the old kung fu martial arts films when the dubbing. Well, you want to watch it with the dubbing because it's hilarious, but later on when other things, they just don't do a really good job. I think it loses the feeling of what each character and the actors pumping out for us. So I don't mind reading it. I tried listening to dubbed with Squid Game and I wasn't feeling their pain or anything. So I just ended up reading that whole thing. But for what this was, I don't think there was any CGI in it. The blood was there, but it wasn't like when you got sliced and blood went pouring out everywhere. None of that was there. It was tasteful blood. So did I want all that? I don't mind it, but I'm kind of glad that they didn't go that route with this. Minimal cable flying around. Not a lot. They didn't go overboard with that, but the hand-to-hand and just the skills of the swordsman, the swordsmanship and everything that they were doing. I assume I said that right. But how they were doing it, the choreography was awesome, and I loved amazing. If I had watched this or knew about this character or these films back in 2012, it definitely would have made my list for 2012, because this movie was awesome. I love it. I'm hoping that the next about four are just as good. Have you seen what's out now after this one?
So I actually own the first three on Blu-ray. And I watched the fourth one. I still need to watch the fifth one, because the fifth one is like a prequel.
Okay. Is it just the same title, or is there a different? How do you say his name again?
Kenshin.
His first Veroni, name.
Veroni's not his first name.
Oh, it's not? It's just, okay, Kenshin is his first name, right?
Kenshin is his last name. Himura Kenshin. It's Himura. It's hard to pronounce. I'm probably butchering it.
All right. What's the Veroni, or how do you say that?
It's Veroni. You said it right.
Okay. What is that? Does that mean anything, or?
Yes, it does. I actually, hold on. So Veroni means it was a word made up for the series by the author. But Veroni is pretty much just another made up word for Ronin. He's a wandering samurai.
All right, because they kept calling him the Wanderer.
Yeah, the Wanderer, yeah.
Okay.
And then Tosai.
Did this film live up to the anime and the manga?
I gotta say, like, I think I've told you before, like, I'm a huge anime fan, and I've seen a lot of live action movies be adapted from anime, and they are completely garbage.
Like what?
For instance, that shitty American version called Dragon Ball Evolution.
Didn't see it.
You don't want to see it, trust me.
But I did see The Last Airbender.
Well, this is just my opinion. Last Airbender is not a anime, but a lot of people argue.
What is it? What was it, Avatar or what?
Avatar, the Last Airbender.
That's not anime.
To me, that's not anime. There's like an argument saying like, oh, it is anime. It's American anime.
Oh, it's American. I thought it was a Japanese.
No. It's American.
Well, show you what I know. I know the stuff I watched was all Japanese stuff in my day, but but the film, it started off. What year was this supposed to be? Because I thought it was going to be like way back in the old days, but then this all was in the old days, but then there was. I guess what they said 10 years later after that battle in the beginning that everybody was kind of, let's say, 20s, 30s. I'm not really sure on the timeline of when this actually took place. It was all in Japan, but I'm trying to look on here to see. It doesn't say dates.
So at the beginning of the movie, it was 1868.
Okay.
And that was like still around, I believe, like, what period was that? I couldn't tell you, but it's pretty much Japan's at war with itself, and pretty much Kenshin is a like well-known samurai assassin called Batosai or something. All
right.
Like that.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah. And so, but Batosai means withdrawing, unsheathing a sword in Japanese. He used to be called Batosai, the Man Slayer or Sword Slayer. His title is different in the anime. In the anime, he's called Batosai the Manslayer. And this one, in the live action, they call him like the Sword Killer or something like that. excuse me. So pretty much like he's like a well-known killer, and obviously you witnessed the beginning of the movie, like him just like taking on fools and killing them left and right.
Okay, let me read what it says right here really quick. As the imperialist forces celebrate their victory in the Battle of Toba Fushimi, I think that's how you say it, a participant known as the
Hirokiri.
walks away from the battlefield, abandoning his sword. But Batosai's old katana is not left alone. It is claimed by one of the fallen Udo Jinni. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, it's something else. All right. But yeah, because at the beginning of the film, it's just all out war. They're out in the woods, I guess, and they're just slicing and dicing everyone that's in his path. But then, I mean, what comes to him to where he just F it and just puts his sword down and just kind of just stabs it into the ground and walks away from it? Did he just
He just got tired of the killing.
I mean, how old was he? Because he looked pretty young. I would say he was in his 20s. Because they're saying that from what I understand, that you train as a little kid pretty much, and you don't the things I was watching, this one samurai guy was saying that you train from the age of 6 to I think like 10 or 12. I think that was it. And then from there you finally get an actual real katana sword, and then you just continue from then on. So I'm assuming this guy, he was training since he was a kid, and then somewhere along the way he became an assassin. Who was he fighting for in the beginning?
It's been so long I can't remember. I do know that he was pretty much on the opposing side, if I remember correctly.
The bad guy's side?
Pretty much. I think that's... because also, we are also introduced to... His name, I can never get it right.
Was that Saito Hajime?
Saito Hajime. Their whole thing was he was wanting to fight Kenshin. because he wanted to, because he knew of his title and whatnot. So that was his whole thing in the beginning, but they never got a chance to have their duel. I mean, in all honesty, like, if I saw a guy just walking down some steps, smoking a cigarette with a katana, slicing people up, I wouldn't want to fight him.
Yeah, because I was like, I was really kind of unsure on why he just walked away from it all. I mean, because they were saying, they said, you've killed many people. And then he just kind of, he vowed to never kill anyone again. And what did he do to his katana sword that he was carrying around with him? They said it wasn't sharp, or was it dull, or?
The one that he was carrying after the war?
Yeah.
So it's called a reverse blade. So literally it is what it's called. The edge, like a sharp, is on the backside, and where the blade, the sharp edge of the blade would normally be, it's like the blunt, like back end of the katana.
So it's like either flat or rounded out.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I did notice when he was fighting that dude that looked like Raiden.
Yeah.
The black eyes. I noticed when he was holding the bad guy was holding his sword down on Kenshin, I noticed the bad guy's sword, the backside of his sword was like serrated. It had a bunch of little jagged edges. Or maybe that was just the rain or whatever was on it, but I don't know what I was looking at. I was like, damn. But was that's this actually, like. Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead.
The sword that the guy you're talking about, the Raiden dude, Udo or Yudo, I can't pronounce it. Anyways, he's the one that, if you remember, he woke up after the war, like he crawled out of a whole bunch of bodies.
Okay, that was him?
That was him, and he grabs Kenshin's old sword.
Okay, so that was Udo Jr. Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. What was up with his eyes? I mean, I didn't.
So he explains it in the movie. I don't want to say it's like a power, but like pretty much like he uses like a technique that allows him to inflict fear into somebody that like it just really screws them up. If I remember correctly, he made an officer like literally stop mid swing with his katana, and so he could just go walk up to him and slice his throat.
Yeah, I was like, it's like he had the force.
Yeah,
because I don't know. Every time he did something, like he didn't do it like throughout the whole movie. He only did it a few times, but then it was like his eyes went black, and then he was able to, I assume, hypnotize him or something, and all that.
So, yeah. So well, pretty much, he just uses like the power of fear, to like screw with people's minds. He tried to do it to Kenshin, and he couldn't do like it wouldn't affect Kenshin.
Yeah, because he was straight up with him. He was like, "Oh fuck, man, it ain't affecting you." So, all right, he just kind of backed off and knew that it was gonna go to the swords, but sorry about my grandson. He's in the hallway. Yeah, once Kenshin was just like, all right, I'm out. I'm done with this. He just kind of just roamed Japan, wherever they were. But then we were introduced to, I don't even know this guy's name, but he was basically the local drug dealer, because they were dealing with opium. and he was just getting pretty much all, not all the villagers, but it looked like there was a lot of them because they were all drugged out in cages. And then they, I guess they were just trying to sell it so they can get money for other things, I assume more drugs and more. And then they wanted guns because nobody had guns in this. I figured I was thinking, where's all the guns at? Everyone's just running around with swords or wood sticks, because in the town that they lived in, they were saying that swords weren't allowed, because when Kenshin comes walking in, one of the girls is like, hey, you can't have that here. And he's like, well, all right. But he was just being nice. He was just being who he was. And what was the point of the snazzy dressed drug dealers? Because they weren't dressed like everyone else. In their traditional wear of the time, they were like more of white tuxedo looking type of things, like your regular little gangster dudes. Were they just the local street thugs, or?
Pretty much, that's what it is. They're businessmen. Pretty much just doing making drugs and selling drugs and weapons and all that. If you didn't notice, in the main villain's the boss's office, he had multiple clocks to tell the time of what time it is in America and China. And all those other different countries. I'm assuming he was just I got the money, I can buy these fancy clothes.
Yeah, because they didn't have the traditional housing that everyone else had around them. They had a nice
mansion.
One of those plantation mansions. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
So they were the local bad guys in this film. And then, there was, when the I can't remember the village they were in. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce it, but they were, the one I said that they swords and all that weren't allowed. They did have a police force that was pretty much, they just had sticks, but, they weren't dressed like everyone. They would kind of look like they had police uniforms on. But there was rumors going around of a unknown swordsman just killing people. And that's what they were calling the, how do you say, the Batosai?
Yep, there you go.
That's what they were calling it. So since they seen Kenshin, this just wanderer, stranger, they assumed it was him because he had an actual sword. And he's like, no, I'm just a wanderer. I'm just kind of passing through and I'm good. Because then they do notice that he other than he's got the sword, they see the X scar that's on his face, so they assume that he is out there doing battle. But he's like, nah, I'm not. I'm nobody. I'm just trying to make my way in this world. So while that's going on, we got the one more time.
Batosai.
Okay, Batosai. All right, they got that rumor's going around. And so, and then the drug dealers are just like, who are those people that they had in the beginning? Were they just people they kidnapped? Because there was a couple guys that killed one of them, and then one dude jumped out of the window because he didn't want to die, and they kidnapped that girl.
They were they were opium makers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so the girl, she
didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, she didn't want to do it anymore. She's sorry, I gotta get something to drink.
let me read what I got. Elsewhere, I'm gonna kill this name. Takakani, I think that's how you say it. Meg Megumai, a woman forced to make opium for, Takata Yeah, him. Escapes and turns to the police for safe haven after witnessing the deaths of her other opium makers. However, Urogini, under the service of hunts her down, slaying everyone with the police. All right, this part was cool. Yeah, so she ended up escaping, and then they had sent what's his name? Udo Jenny after her. Yep. And this part was awesome. This is probably my favorite part in it. He rolls up into the police station, and she comes. First, she goes there. She's telling everyone, yeah, this is what I was doing for so-and-so. And he's trying to kill me because I escaped. And the police were like, all right, well, everything's good. Kind of like a Terminator situation. We got 30 cops here. You'll be all right. And then here comes this fool. He comes rolling in with his sword and just mows down everybody in there. It was awesome because she's trying to run. And you see him just slicing and dicing up all the cops that got in his way. And then she's running. You see guys flying down the hall. Just cut up. I mean, for all the slicing that was going on in this, I mean, yeah, you see a little bit of blood, but it wasn't like just puddles of blood all over the halls. And he just ran through that pretty much that whole police station. But she ended up getting out. But that scene was awesome because he just... That's what I loved about these guys. All these guys with swords. Nobody ran, really. Everyone just kind of strolled right up and then just started going for it. But this scene was awesome. There's more action in this, but this was my favorite scene because, like I said, it just reminded me of Terminator. He rolled in there and just took out everybody. Was he just Udo Jenny? Was he just like a swordsman for hire, or was there a reason why he was working for the drug dealer guys?
He was just pretty much he was just a swordsman for hire.
Okay. I figured that's what everyone was doing. Because, yeah, they tried to hire Kenshin, but he was like, nah, I'm good. I don't need your money. So she ends up getting away. When Kenshin was at that dojo, because he was meeting everyone there, because they had mentioned to him that I don't remember the girl he was talking to. Was that her sister that escaped the OBM guys?
No. They're not related.
Oh, they weren't? Okay.
No.
Because she knew, she was the one that told him, and they knew what was going on.
Yeah. So, like you said, he meets Kamiya Karuo. I can never pronounce these names right. Holy shit.
Yeah.
She's the owner of her late father's kendo school. Like, and she's like, she met Kenshin earlier on the streets, like you said. And she was like sitting there thinking he was Potosai. Now you got me mispronouncing it. Tosai is using the swordsman. Like form of that her father's dojo taught. So she's trying to like protect her family's legacy by trying to hunt him down. And then she actually is walking right by the police station when Udo Jenny comes out after murdering all those cops. And then he kind of starts berating her because she's a woman and she shouldn't be, like, using the sword or wooden sword. And thankfully, Kenshin comes out of nowhere and, like, saves her. And then they go back to the dojo and she pretty much just fills Kenshin in, like, about her father's school and all that. And later on, that's when I think it's like the next day, I believe. The kid. The little kid, I'll find his name out here in a minute. He shows up, he's like a student of hers. And then, that's when, those men come and they like pretty much are trying to force her out of the dojo and they start wrecking the place. And that's when, Kenshin comes back and just like pretty much starts wrecking them.
He, not Kenshin, the other dude, the Raiden guy or whatever. was he Udo Jenny? Was that him?
The Raiden dude's Udo Jenny, yeah.
All right, yeah. He had a crew with him. He had someone with a mask on. And did he have a chick with him or?
I don't believe so.
I remember the guy in the white mask, and then I want to say someone else was with him. Or am I thinking of someone else? Because at the end, when they had that, when they had the battle, Kenshin was fighting everyone. Jeez, I'm all over the place on this movie. But,
hey, I am too, and I just finished it.
Yeah, I just watched it the once this morning, but. But that was pretty much the plot of the story. The bad guy is trying to just run drugs, get their opium chick back. Kenshin
to make it, yeah.
Yeah, Kenshin was just doing his thing, and he gets pulled into it.
Let me ask you this. What did you think of the fight between Kenshin and Sanosuke?
Which one was that?
That was when the businessman showed up at like the restaurant, and he was trying to hire Kenshin.
Oh, that's when the other dude with the big sword came out.
Sword, yeah. Yeah, that's Sanosuke.
Okay. I wanted more, but I didn't realize they were going to end up being allies in it. But that was cool. There was a minimal use of cables and all that when they're flying around. But what was the other guy's name?
The one with the giant sword.
Yeah,
that's Sanosuke.
And who was trying to hire them? It was the drug dealer guys.
The boss, the big boss guy. Okay,
that's right. Because they came in with a satchel full of money. And kind of just trying to get some henchmen really to deal with Kenshin or what, I don't know. But they were like, yeah, well, hey, there's this money, because he didn't want it. He was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want your money. But then that little dude came busting in. I'll do it. It looks like he had just finished killing someone, because he was all beat up and had blood on him and everything. And he came in with that big old giant sword. But it wasn't sharp, was it?
No, like, so he even mentions that he like hasn't taken care of it. That weapon, it's a giant sword that's used, it was used in like an old war to like cut down horses.
Okay.
I'm actually trying to find a picture right now to show you what it actually looks like in the anime.
It doesn't look like that big giant.
it's definitely bigger in the anime.
Okay.
I love that fight. But you just like see Sanosuke like trying to like beat Kenshin, but he's just way too damn fast.
Yeah, because when they came into that restaurant or whatever, and he was the only one that was like, all right. He goes, I'll work for you guys. But then they wanted Kenshin. But then when that other day, Sanosuke challenged him to fight, he was like, well, let's just go outside because I don't want to ruin this establishment because it's this little bar, little restaurant that they were in. So Sanosuke was like, fuck yeah, let's do this. And he ends up going out. That's what I loved about him. He was hardcore. He didn't care. But they end up going outside onto a bridge, and Sanosuke was just talking shit, really. And then Kenshin didn't want to do nothing. He just kind of was just standing there, and then Sanosuke started swinging his sword. And then, dude, that's hella big.
Yeah, they kind of downsized it
for the movie. Okay, but... Yeah, so once they started getting into it, Kenshin was just jumping out of the way because the sword, when he was swinging it, it's maybe a foot wide, but then it's what, 5-6 feet long, I would say, and he's just swinging it, and I don't know how heavy that is. If it was all metal, I'm sure that thing is hella heavy. But it does look like it's getting the best of him because when he's swinging it, he's just like losing his balance. But either he's hella strong or it doesn't weigh that much because he's Kenshin is just running and flipping and flying over things. And Sanosuke comes at him with that thing and just talking shit the whole time. But
yeah.
He never pulls out his sword. Kenshin just... He's just battling with him. It hits him a few times, and Sanosuke is still talking hella shit. And then I did like this part. I'm watching this, everyone. When Kenshin gets that pole vault, or it was not a pole vault. It was one of the things that they, when you're in your little boat, a oar, I guess, basically a long stick. And he flies over to the other side. Sanosuke goes running back over the bridge, and then they start fighting again. But at this point, at the end of the fight, Sanosuke, he just realized, like, all right, man, I can't beat this guy. And he's just like, eh, whatever. I don't need it. And then he just kind of just gives up. But all the townspeople out there watching, the bad guys that are hiring, I hated that the way the main drug dealer bad guy looked. I just, his dumb haircut and his glasses and his vest and... But Sanosuke, he figured he couldn't do it. He couldn't defeat Kenshin. So he's just like, all right, man, whatever. So he just kind of goes back to doing what he's doing and rolls out. So that fight was cool. I mean, it was basically him just swinging that big old sword and Kenshin jumping out of the way. But he did what he didn't want to. He knew he wasn't going to kill him because of the oath that he took. But. I thought that was a cool scene. Who was the little kid at the school? Was he just a local boy or?
He even kind of jokes about it that he's like an orphan, little orphan boy. It's Yahiko.
Okay. I can't remember his name.
I'm not gonna try to pronounce his first name. Yahiko, he's just like a student of what's her face? Kanryu?
Yeah. okay.
Or not Kanryu, God, I can't.
Yeah, it was
Kiryu.
Kamiya Kiryu, yeah, her.
Yeah. Just a student. He helps her like clean the dojo and whatnot.
Did they have students? It seemed like it was just the two of them there.
Well, because of the fake Potosai killing all like the cops and whatnot, her students like stopped coming.
They got scared.
Yeah. But like you said, like after that whole like during that fight with Sanosuke and Kenshin pretty much says, like, you really would want to work for someone like that guy. And that's pretty much
He just wanted money to eat.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He was always hungry. Every time he kind of, I'm hungry. And so that was amazing because when they were flashing all that money around, he was like, well, shit, I'll do it. And I need money to party with. So, but then, because when he saw Kenshin, he goes, ah, it's just like a little run. I think I could take him, smash him easy. And he thought wrong. Never judge a book by its cover. Because.
Yeah. But yeah, the chick that was making the opium, she Megumi was forced to make the opium. She like was found by Yahiko on the street. And so he just took her back to the dojo and kind of gave her a place to stay. And that's when Kenshin and Kairyo went back to the dojo and met her. And next thing you know, people from like the town just start like coming in, like rushing with like kids and other people, like saying that they're sick. And that's when Megumi goes and tastes the water and spits it back out, and she finds out that the water had been poisoned. And obviously the big boss drug dealer Kenryu, he pretty much put rat poison in the water so he could finally get the dojo, the land that the dojo was on.
So he was just trying to kill everyone to build up his territory, right?
Yeah, he was wanting to get the pier. So he could ship his like drugs out like on sea.
Okay. Not to jump forward, there was another character. I believe he was one of the cops. Was it Saito or Sieto or
Saito? Yeah,
Saito, he was a cop, right?
Yeah, he was the guy at the beginning of the movie smoking a cigarette.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, because he knew who Kenshin was, right? Was he in that battle in the beginning?
Guy that was smoking a cigarette, walking down the steps, like just swinging his katana at people.
That was him.
Yeah. They never got a chance to have their duel because the war had ended.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now I remember. Because he was saying stuff to him when they were at the dojo. And is this when he challenged Kenshin?
So Kenshin actually got arrested after beating up all those men that were trying to wreck the dojo. And
are the guys that were hired by the drug dealers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He goes to jail, and that's when Saito talks to him and he gets them out of the jail, and they go to talk to the chief of the police or whatever. And that's when Kenshin knew who he was, and he was pretty much trying to hire Kenshin to stop the drug dealer. But Kenshin said that he wasn't going to be a kill sword anymore. And that's when Saito pretty much was like challenging him, saying like, come on, like, bring out that swordsman that he used to be. And he was pretty much telling him that his reverse blade was going to get him killed because the actual sharp blade was facing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually like made Kenshin cut himself a couple times.
Because when they started fighting, Saito, he pulled out his katana and was swinging it, but Kenshin was just he was still in the sheath, so he was still just not pulling it out. But at some point when they were out there fighting in the rain, the sheath flew off. So then it was sword to sword, but he was basically just defending himself. It didn't look like he was swinging at it. Oh, okay. This is the scene I was talking about when I said that his sword looked like it was all serrated. The Saito, it's just raindrops. Never mind. Because I was gonna say, damn, I would hate to get hit with that side because it'd be like a saw.
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, that when they're fighting, he's talking to him. He's basically telling him like, look, man, I know who you are and I know what you've done. But Kenshin's like, nah, that ain't me no more. I'm good. but. I think he was just more mad that Kenshin wasn't who he was. Because, I mean, remember earlier, like you said, they wanted to fight. But Kenshin's like, I don't do that anymore. So yeah. It wasn't really like a fight to the death. Because to prove, to see who was best. So I think Saito was like, yeah, fuck it. So that's pretty much where the fight ended. They was like, he's not going to fight me. He's just blocking all my swings. So he's just saying, F it. So at that point, Saito. All right. It says he's a former member of the Shinsengumi. I think that's how you say it. Now he works for the Meiji government as a police officer under the name of Fujita Goro. I think that's how you pronounce it. So, but I think he just still had that. Hey, I wanted to fight you back then, but now here you are. So let's get it on. But he realized Kenshin wasn't. Nah, I'm just gonna protect myself. I ain't gonna strike or try to kill you. So he just kind of gave up. Nah, fuck it. So, because at first I thought he was just going to be a bad guy, the cop dude.
Mm-hmm.
But we do find out that that was more stuff from a B from the old days. But then at this point he realized that, well, he ain't going to do nothing, so F it. Let's just live our lives. So the drug dealer guy had all those dudes that he beat up. Was that the last scene, or did they come back later? Because he like whooped, he ran through all of them.
He, like they got killed. Jinny,
he didn't kill them when the cops came because they were all still alive. Did they get killed by someone else?
Are you talking about
when Kenshin beat up all those thugs that were at the dojo? That's when he got arrested because everybody was just beat up, and then he had the fight with the cop guy. So after that, did the drug dealer dude still have all those thugs under his belt, or did someone roll in there and kill all of them?
So what had happened was those men were killed off screen by Jinny. Jinny killed all those men because they failed.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And Kenshin witnesses, like, he finds, like, the bodies and whatnot, and it just evokes a memory. he witnesses like a woman like mourning a man that he witnesses a woman like mourning the death of a lover, and it evokes a memory because he witnessed something just like that, but it was actually the person who died in the past was somebody that he had killed.
Was that the four guys when they were walking down the alley?
Yeah, and one of them gave him like the first like scar on his face.
Yeah. Oh, it was five guys. I'm watching the scene right now.
Yeah.
Five guys with a little crazy little buns on top of their heads.
Yeah.
That's right. Because Kenshin goes charging at them, pulls out his sword, and just starts killing them all. All right. Okay. This was a flashback because I was thinking, when I was watching this, I was like, wait, I thought he wasn't supposed to kill anyone. But then he just ran through them hella quick. What I love about this scene, other than he's just kicking ass, is again, I was watching this this old master of the swords in Japan. And he was saying that when he was watching a bunch of movies, this wasn't one of them, but he was watching a bunch of movies and he was kind of like giving you the rights and wrongs of each scene when it's dealing with samurais or katana swords or what have you. He was saying that you got to hold it right. You got to hold it. You got to walk this way. You got to come this way. He goes, a lot of movies, just because you got a sword in your hand doesn't make you a samurai. So he was really looking at stuff like that. After I watched that, now I'm watching this video of him fighting those guys in the alley. Because I loved how he always posed after he, when he was pretty much done. But who were these dudes and why did he kill them? Do you remember?
He was just an assassin for hire, and he would hire just to kill those men. They didn't really give you a reason why. It was just a job for him.
Oh, okay. Was he after all of them, or was he just after, like, one of them?
I believe it was all of them.
Okay. Because, yeah, he ran through them, like, quick. Everyone pulled out their swords and they were trying to defend themselves, but he was just boom, 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 left and right. He was dropping them all. But because I assume the last dude, that was the one that's wife or girl was mourning him, right?
Yep.
Because he was the one that, he was no joke either, because he kept getting up. I'm not going to die today.
It's like I'm getting married.
Yeah, he kept getting up. And then Kenshin, he got up a couple times until he finally just, I assume, slit his throat or something. But because after that first time, after he beat them all up, he pulled out a piece of paper and threw it on the ground. I can't remember what it said. Do you?
Don't remember what it said. But it was pretty much like his,
was it like a letter from the boss or?
No, it was pretty much like his calling card.
Hmm.
Because that's what the fake Potosai was doing as well. Like yeah. He would like leave notes. Letters, whatever.
Yeah, this last dude that said he ain't dying today. He got him the first time, and he sliced him. He went down. He got back up. He brought the sword downwards and cut him in the chest, and he was still standing. And then he sliced him across, and then that's when Kenshin got one to the face. He got a little a swipe. That was that first scar that he had, but. Yeah, that last dude, man, he was no joke. He was going to go out swinging, and he did.
He definitely wanted to get married.
Yeah. So that was the flashback of when he was thinking Was it that girl talking that triggered that scene?
No, that's he saw some of the dead bodies of some men, and like a woman or a wife or a loved one came running up and saw her lover or whatever, and she started crying over his body. And that's what evoked the memory. The memory. So, but yeah, like I said, after that, get the whole poisoning the community wells, and Megumi suspects it's Kanryu's doing, and she's trying to help provide medication for the victims, because she actually comes from an actual famous family who were all doctors.
Was that the girl that was making the opium?
Yep.
Okay. She was the one that ran out then tasted the water.
Yeah.
Because that's when they were like, all right, get everyone water and make everybody throw up, but don't use the well water.
Yeah.
Because that's when everyone came. Because everyone, like the whole town or whatever, came running to the dojo and holding somebody. Because the first one that went down was that little girl. I don't know. She was fine. She just went down. And then everybody came pouring in with a bunch of sick people.
What I want to know is why is everybody bringing them to her?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I was like, is this the safe place? I don't know. I was kind of unsure. Unless they knew that one girl was a doctor or was a family who were doctors. I assume that's why it was, because everyone did go run in there and she did run out to see what it was. And she figured it out pretty fast, so she knew what to do. I don't know how they figured out it was rat poison, but she just said, just make everybody throw up so they can get all out of the system. So was it at this point when Kenshin said, all right, these guys got to pay? Is that when he goes over?
Yep. Him and Sanosuke team up.
Yeah, they roll up in there and just start whooping ass. So, I didn't want what's his name to die. I was like, don't die. Sanosuke. I was like, man, just don't get killed.
Because he's too important.
Because the fight scene that he had first, because he went in there swinging a sword when they were outside, but then he lost it because he was taking on too many fools. But he was serving them fools when they were outside. But then he lost it. Cause then
he threw it three guys and they all caught it and it was just so heavy that they fell over.
Yeah, I liked everything because he didn't just go straight fight. He was fighting, but he was talking shit that whole time. So
yeah,
I thought he was awesome. But once he gets inside, he starts fighting. All the many bosses, because he fights that first guy down the bottom of the stairs. I didn't like this dude. He bugged me. He just thought he was badass. But since he didn't have no sword, this one, it went hand to hand.
Yep.
And, oh, man, this fight scene was awesome, because they started fighting in the lobby, and then they go crashing into the kitchen. So this part was hella funny, because after they were beating the hell out of each other, and I assume they were just getting tired, Sanosuke kind of just fell backwards, and then he just started eating chicken. And then he drinks some wine.
Yeah, he offers the chicken to the guy that he's fighting. The guy's like, I'm actually a vegetarian. And he starts like, what is it, like, blessing the chicken.
Yeah.
And then he like you said, Sanosuke, he's like drinking like wine or something, and he's like, well, there's no meat in this. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'll have some of that. And he starts drinking it, and they're trying to hype themselves up. Like, Sonosuke is like, he literally took an egg, broke it, and like swallowed like the yolk, like Rocky style. And then like,
right before all that, when they were fighting, when Sonosuke got pushed up against the shelf, he's just grabbing plate after plate and busting it over that guy's head. And that guy's just, he's still coming. He took like about three or four plates. And then that other dude he was fighting came at him with a, I don't know what it was, a pot or something, and thing hit him. And then he fell down. Because they just kept fighting, and there's just things flying all over the place. There's flour and feathers or whatever. But yeah, then because Sonosuke is like, stop, and then he kind of gets up, and that's when he starts eating the chicken and all that. But yeah, when he said he was a vegetarian, I was like, that's right, he was blessing the chicken.
Sonosuke and him start fighting again, and then Sonosuke pretty much ends it with like a suplex.
Yeah, he does, like a German suplex right on his head.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, because once they start fighting, dude, they're just swinging and swinging on each other. I think out of hand to hand, this was probably the best hand to hand scene, because other than the comedy that was going on, I mean, they're slamming each other's heads through walls, and I mean, I've been in many fights, but nothing that lasts this long. Things get crashing everything. Oh man, that was awesome. That bad guy swung, and Sonosuke blocked it and hit him so hard that that guy spun his fist, hit him in the face, and this is when he picked him up and did the suplex, dude, right on his head too. And I'll give it to that actor. He took that bump hella hard right on his head. So
yeah,
that was all. Speaking of falling on his head, did you see AEW? It was back in December when Sting and Punk and Darby Allin was fighting that fucking idiot. He's in suit. He's always yelling. Yeah, him. When he dove out of the ring, Sting threw him out of the ring, and he landed on his head.
No, I did not.
Oh man, yeah. Well, I'll send you that video. I have to find it again. But man, I just recently watched it. Yeah, this reminded me of that when he suplexed that fool onto his head. But did that kill him?
I don't think so.
Because once it went to the after that fight, that's when Kenshin was fighting the other dude.
The one with the mask.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that dude. That fool, because he came strolling in, and then he started fighting that dude with the mask. He looked like he walked into a library or something. And that dude, that mask looks scary. Especially this guy looked cool on how he looked. But then he gets up and he takes his mask off. I assume
it's Kenshin versus Henya.
Yeah, was there. What's the story behind his face? It looked like it was all burned up.
No idea. They don't really tell you that in the movie.
Okay. So I guess you got to read the manga to see.
Or watch the anime.
I'll have to find out. I don't know if I can sit there and read 28 books. But, because, this fool pulled out not just sword. He pulled out the crazy gadgets. Because he had guns, too. Because he pulled out that cable and pulled Kenshin up and threw him up to the next level. And he's laughing, shooting pistols at him. And Kenshin's just running, dodging all the bullets. But I can't even remember what was going on. But this scene was awesome. Because that fool's, I don't know how many bullets these guns hold, man. Because he must have shot like about a billion times already.
And Kenshin, if you notice, like it was like an old school, like like revolver. Like I'm talking like old school revolver.
How many bullets is he had? Two of them. So how many did each hold?
I have no idea, man. But like you said, he was shooting bullets for a while.
Yeah. Because then after he ran out of bullets, that's when he Kenshin pulled out a sword. And then that guy looks like he just pulled out like a looked like a dagger, a long, kind of a longer knife, and they just continue to fight. The choreography in this, I'm watching this, everyone. The choreography is amazing. A lot of flips and spins, and just the speed of these guys swinging these things, these swords and knives around. And that's what I always give it up to these type of films. It's amazing when we see the end product, but the training that these guys have to go through, just over and over and over to make these films look amazing to us. Man, I give it to all of them, and these are the actors that are doing it.
Yep,
it doesn't look like it's somebody else.
There's some videos out there of the actor training, like with a group of people.
See, that's the stuff I like. I like watching when we see how they train. Because I mean, to bring up Star Wars, yeah, back in 77, the lightsaber duel between Obi-Wan and Darth was not the greatest. Hey, it was awesome for us in 77, but you watch that now, you're like, oh my god, what were these guys doing? But compared to how they're fighting now, and my favorite fight other than the episode one when Darth Maul was fighting Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, I still love the Obi-Wan. Yeah, he was Anakin, but he was Darth Vader then at the end of Revenge of the Sith when those two fought. I mean, I just thought that was amazing choreography. I mean, even watching the making stuff, but when the finished product, when you see the actual lightsabers, it's amazing. And stuff like this as well, especially when they're up close fighting each other. And the scene we had mentioned earlier when he ran down that alley and just cut down all those guys. I mean, that was, all of them had katana swords, and that was awesome. But the video cut. Did he end up killing this guy with the scar on his face?
No, he pretty much just... So pretty much like his... The way I see it, his sword... The reverse blade, it's pretty much just like a, almost like a baton at this point, okay. If you think about it. Or like, I don't know what else to compare it to, but like, he pretty much just beats the shit out of people with it. Like, he doesn't kill anybody, he just beats the shit out of them. And he literally beat the shit out of the dude. Like he didn't kill him, but he like hurt him pretty bad. Like if I remember correctly, he hit him like so hard in the stomach that it pretty much made the guy like fall down to the ground.
Yeah, because he took that fool out hard.
And then if I remember correctly, this is when Saito shows up to help Kenshin and Sanosuke to fight the big boss, the drug dealer. And the drug dealer's got that fucking Gatling gun.
Oh, that's right, because the Kenshin and Saito show up first, but then the cop shows up. And because after he the other guys, his little henchmen guys started firing their pistols. And then before they pulled out the big gun, and then he started firing them because they kind of just ran out of the way. But the cop told him, he said, look, man, that gun can only fire one way. So we need to figure out how to distract him. So Sato runs out there. Starts talking shit, so he turns the gun on him, but he dumps behind a pillar. I'm surprised
you mean You mean Sinosuke?
Sinosuke, I'm sorry. He jumps behind the pillar. I'm surprised that gun didn't just tear that thing apart. And yeah. I don't know how much how many rounds that thing held, but there was a lot. But then that's when the cop sprung into action.
Does that crouching tiger, hidden dragon leap all the way up towards the chandelier?
Did they kill them all? Or did they just beat them up and arrest them?
They just beat them up and arrest them.
Yeah, because Kenshin, yeah, crouching tiger into there, flew up hella high in the air, and then the rest of the guys, they ended. Did he kick him, or I don't even remember what happened at the very end with that. I forgot about this fight, but I'm ruining it because I'm looking. I'm trying to look up fight scenes, but I'm I'm ruining. Well, I'm seeing all these other fights from the other movies, and I'm like, oh man, no.
Nope, don't watch it.
I'm not watching them.
Like Kenshin pretty much like disarms the drug dealer. And they go and they Saito pretty much says, like, go on ahead, I'll handle this, and they go and save they go and save Megumi, and she tells Kenshin that Urogeni kidnapped Kaoru, or I can't pronounce her name. Anyways, the chick who owns the dojo, Urogeni kidnaps her and tells Megumi to tell Kenshin to come find me. And that's when you get that final fight scene between Kenshin and the Urogeni. And Urogeni uses his like power, I guess you could say, to cause Kario to stop breathing. And that's when like him and Kenshin start battling each other. And Kenshin got his ass beat at the beginning. Like he actually got stabbed because Urogeni like did like a like he like switched hands with his katana. He like threw his sword over his back, over his shoulder, and like caught it with his left hand and stabbed Kenshin.
Because this is when they were fighting outside.
Yeah.
Sorry about the crying kids. It's bedtime. Nobody wants to go to bed. Because, yeah, we see, what's the chick's name? I can't hear. We see her laying there on the ground.
Kario.
Yeah, and Urogeni, he took off his raiden hat, and he kind of really looks like what's his name from the X-Men?
Gambit?
Yeah, he looks like Gambit with his black eyes. And then Kenshin there, he's all beat up, and he's like, all right, man, party time. And he's like, come at me, bro, so I can kill you. he had to, man. It was kill or be killed at this point. And they go charging at each other. I'm watching this, everyone. They go charging at each other. Again, amazing cinematography. And them just coming at each other. I don't think Kishini's already injured, but he's still bringing it to him. Man, they're just both just, going at it. And the choreography of this is amazing because they're going so fast. Because usually when you watch stuff like this, you can tell when it's like sped up. None of this looks like it was sped up. It was like they practiced and practiced and then just went for it. But then the scene is so fast. We finally see, other than they're just kicking the shit out of each other with the swords, Kenshin does a spin move and jumps up and then comes down and gets Udogini.
Yep.
And then he falls over, and we see that he injured his I guess the top of his head or something. But then he jumps up hella fast. Udogini tastes his blood and kind of laughs around. His black eyes, dude, they're scary. But Kenshin puts his sword back in the, what do you call that? The holder, whatever you call those things.
Oh, the scabbard?
Yeah. He puts that back in. He gets into a pose. Udogini's still talking shit and blood just pouring down his face. He goes running at Kenshin. He pulls out the sword, swings at him. This is all slow motion. Misses. Hits him with the what do you call it? Yeah, he hits him with that. At first, I thought he just hit him, but then I guess he swung his sword too, because Udogini just looks like he got him in the gut or something. Because then he falls down. But then he hit him as well. I'm trying to read what he says. Kenshin says, "Your elbow was smashed and your tendons are severed. The presence with the using a sword is over." Udogini just looking at him while he's talking shit, and then that's the end of the scene on YouTube. But so he killed him right there, didn't he?
Kenshin didn't kill him. No, Udogini killed himself.
Oh, that's right. He
What is it called? He committed. You know where they killed himself.
Harry Carey. I don't know something.
Yeah.
He wanted to. I thought he was gonna die the soldier's way or something. I don't know, but yeah, that's right. He ended up killing himself. Those of you who've seen this movie, you guys remember. I mean, this was my first time watch. I can't remember everything. But so, I mean, evil was punished. Well, mainly those guys, because those are the ones that were running around really killing everyone. So all the drug dealers, they went to jail, right? Because that cop yep. took them all away. And then, so I guess Kenshin really didn't kill him. He just kind of just
pretty much roughed him up. Pretty much.
Yeah, roughed him up pretty bad. Just where you're not swinging that sword anymore. So that's when that guy, that's when he realized, like, ah, fuck it, and just killed himself. So, oh, because he can't do what he did, what he was trained to do anymore. So I guess that's the only way out. Because then,
the way I see it, he pretty much knew that he wasn't gonna get Kenshin to kill him. So he just said, screw it, I'll take my own life.
Okay. After an intense battle, Kenshin critically injures Genie by shattering his elbow and his scabbard or whatever. I don't know how to say that. It's, that. Before Kenshin could land the killing blow, Kairu overcomes the paralysis and stops Kenshin from killing Genie. Genie commits suicide, telling Kenshin before his last breath that he who lives by the sword must die by the sword. A reoccurring theme counter to Kenshin's vow never to kill again. All right. So, yeah, he killed himself and he's dead. Kenshin, tired and wounded, carries unconscious Kairu, the girl, back to the dojo. They rest in the care of Megumi and I think this is a kid, Yahiko. Upon walking up. Yeah, him. Kairu does not see Kenshin and goes to search for him. She finds him carrying back some vegetables and he's supposed to cook dinner. I remember that. After he goes back there, brings Kairu, however you say her name.
Kairu.
She was all beat up. And then when she kind of wakes up and doesn't see Kenshin, that's when she thinks that he's gone. And then she goes running outside, and he comes walking around the corner carrying vegetables and stuff that he was going to cook for dinner. So everyone's all happy, and that's the end of your film. But yep. Overall, dude, thanks for introducing me to this, because now I got to see the rest of the film. Because I can't just watch this one and say that's the end of it. So,
well, hey, man, I'm down to review the others with you.
Yeah, these films, this one was awesome. I've never heard of it, never heard of the manga or the anime, and amazing, amazing film.
I'm going to say this right now, man. Like this movie, just wait for the others, because the others have way more action.
Okay. Well, this is the beginning story. So, but yeah, this movie was awesome. Everybody in it did their part. They were all badass. The sword fighting, the martial arts, and everything in this film was awesome. I don't know if it won any awards or anything. I don't know any of these actors. So my hat's off to all of them and everybody that made this film. The budget was $10 million. And it boxed office 62.5. Whoa, it weighed way over its money. So, what? I mean, $10 million doesn't seem like a lot, but they did a good job with the $10 million. Obviously, they had to build their sets and everything. But I'm not even gonna try to pronounce anyone's name in this list because I'll just butcher them. But yeah, dude. Eventually, once I sit down and watch the rest. And we'll have to come on here and talk about it. But again, thanks, brother, for introducing me to, how do you say this again?
Rurouni Kenshin.
Rurouni Kenshin, yeah. Origins, whatever. Whatever it was called, part one or something. That's what America is calling it. But yeah, that's going to be it, everyone, this episode. So I'm not sure when we're going to get to the other ones, but we'll get to them. So there's 5 movies total, right?
Yep.
And all 5 are out now?
Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right, everyone. Whenever we get to them, and search for them. If you guys want to be a part of the conversation, let us know what you thought of it. But anything else before we get out of here?
No. Just stay safe.
All right. And with that, everyone, yeah, stay safe and come back next time. So until then, party on.